Many people agree that the area around the new Bears Ears National Monument is special enough to warrant protection. Native Americans and environmentalists applaud departing President Barack Obama for creating the monument to preserve its landscape, traditions, and cultural resources. But many San Juan County residents and Utah political leaders have vowed to reverse it. University of Utah law professor John Ruppel has studied Utah's public land debate and the monument designation with an eye on finding common ground. He's thought a lot about what's to come after the new Republican administration is sworn in. I recently sat down with Ruppel in the KUER studios and started out our interview by asking him if Obama's use of the Antiquities Act was legal.
In a word, yes, the designation was legal. Back in 1906, Congress made a decision. They looked at the Southwest, realized that there was a lot of looting of archaeological sites going on, a lot of vandalism, and they were concerned about it. So they delegated to the president the power to designate national monuments. And for the last 110 years, presidents have been doing that. I think 15 of the last 19 presidents, Republicans and Democrats alike, have designated national monuments. So over the years, we've seen a number of challenges to those designations. I'm aware of 10 court cases. In every instance, the president's monument proclamation has been upheld. But really what it comes down to, and this was articulated by a case involving the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument, is there's a two-part test. One, did the president articulate a description of the sites to be protected that are scientifically and historically important? And second, did the president articulate that the monument is the smallest necessary to protect those resources? As long as the president articulates those two points, it's over. The court will not and cannot second-guess the president's judgment, and those points are addressed, I think, fairly clearly in the proclamation.
What about a repeal by the new president?
I think it's very unlikely that President Trump would be able to repeal the monument. No president has ever tried to disestablish a national monument, so we don't have any case law on it. Congress never authorized the president to undo a monument. And two former U.S. attorneys general have looked at the issue. They both concluded that absent that express grant, the president is unlikely to have that authority. I should also say that, well, I think it's unlikely that the president could unilaterally undo a monument designation. Congress certainly could. They could pass legislation that would either undo the monument, change the requirements for management, or unfund it. There are a number of things that they could do that are largely limited by their creativity and political will.
How is Congressman Rob Bishop's public lands initiative relevant to the monument's size and shape?
It goes to this question of whether Utah's voice was heard, whether Utah politicians and local residents were considered throughout this process. If we look at some of the requirements contained in the proclamation, they're quite similar to what was in the PLI. The monument applies only to federal land. It does not convert any private or state land into federal land, not a square mile, not a square foot, not a square inch. PLI proposed 1.28 million federal acres. The Bears Ears National Monument had 1.35. The monument proclamation recognizes valid existing rights, so if there are people on that landscape that have grazing permits right now, those permits remain in effect. People have valid oil and gas leases. Those remain in effect. Now the landscape is essentially closed to new mineral leases. In terms of access, hunting and fishing remain areas where the state will take the lead on management. And the monument goes into a lot of detail about access by Native Americans.
What's next for the monument?
President Obama's proclamation lays out the broad direction for managing the national monument, but the details need to be fleshed out in a management plan. An advisory committee will help develop that management plan, and that consists of, and I'm quoting from the proclamation here, a fair and balanced representation of interested stakeholders, including state and local governments, tribes, recreation users, local business owners, and private landowners. We also know that there's a Bears Ears Commission that will be created that will include representatives from the five major tribes that came together to develop the Bears Ears National Monument proposal.
It seems like one of the lessons here is that we still haven't found a good solution for managing public lands.
It's a great observation. We have to recognize that they're managed under a multiple-use mandate. And that really involves a balancing of a vast range of uses, everything from oil and gas development to surface mining and grazing and timber production to wilderness protection, wildlife protection, watershed protection, protection of cultural, archaeological, and aesthetic resources. So all of these things need to be balanced, and striking that balance is very, very difficult. I think we all talk about balance, but finding a balance that we all agree upon is incredibly difficult, and I think that will continue to be a challenge moving forward.
That was John Ruppel, an associate professor at the University of Utah's Wallace Stegner Center for Land Resources and the Environment. He was talking about the future of the new Bears Ears National Monument.